Can you see me okay?
Okay, good.
Hi, ladies.
Hi, Irma.
How you doing?
Hey, Irma, ¿cómo estás? How are you?
Bien, I'm good. And you?
Good. Oh, happy to see you.
Yeah, happy to see
you. How's your foot?
Oh, it's better.
Good.
Thank you. I had surgery.
Yeah.
I ended up having surgery. Oh, what a drag.
Are you on the mend now?
Yes, good. Slowly, but yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Hello. I'm going to be a video off while I finish my late afternoon snack, but nice seeing you both. Hi, Irma.
Hey, Mark.
Laura Maria, I haven't seen you for a minute. How are you both doing?
We're hanging in there. Doing well. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for asking. How are you?
Hanging in there. There's a lot of transitions that are happening right now at Shanti. Our ED is leaving at the end of the week.
Wow.
Let's make everything work mode, right?
Wow.
Fortunately, he's leaving us in really good financial health, which is
good.
Important, I think, right now during this era. And his interim replacement is our development director. And I think I personally feel like, oh, there we go.
Welcome, everyone. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
I was wondering why I was the only one in a room. I was just like, yeah, okay.
All right, welcome everyone to the steering committee meeting. Start with introductions. So why don't we start with Chuck? I'm sorry, with, oh, duh. I'm so sorry. I know you threw me off, Mark. Why am I facilitating if it's not steering?
Yes.
I know, Chuck should be.
I am so sorry.
Me too, you threw me off. Okay, Chuck. It's your show, sorry.
Okay, all right, we'll do introductions real quick. Go ahead, Irma.
Irma.
Matt.
Calling Irma. Earth calling Irma.
All right, Matt.
A Gelbaker council member.
Floor, go ahead.
Floor Irma with the Department of Public Health, HIV Health Services.
And Beth.
Beth Neri, HIV Health Services, too.
Well, I'm Chuck Adams, co-chair of this committee. And Maria.
Maria Lacayo with HIV Health Services.
And Ken.
Ken Pierce, co-chair, member, council member.
Okay, David.
David Jordan, council staff.
And Mark.
Mark Molnar, council staff.
all right, then.
Quickly, Kira, council staff.
Oh yeah, there you are. And I forgot what's next on the agenda.
Review the agenda.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So can you pull that up real quick? If anybody sees any changes they need to make, just let me know. And if not,
recording in progress.
The sci-fi. Well, we'll accept that by consensus. So, and then after that is the minutes from the last meeting, right? I think that's everybody that was there. Any changes for anybody? If not, we'll approve that by consensus. And then we're back to announcements, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Are there any announcements from anybody? Go ahead, Beth.
Today's the last day to register for the Ryan White Conference, which happens every 2 years, usually in Washington, D.C., but it's virtual this time. So I think the link has been sent out, but today is the last day. So do sign up if you're interested in attending even one thing. It's pretty interesting. The conference program itself is long, but there are some good things. So if you're interested, it's worth doing.
Okay, any other announcements? Go ahead, Mark.
The co-chairs have determined that the meetings for next month in September will all be virtual. So we're continuing our virtual reality through the end of September at the very least. And also I'll be leaving after we discuss the next agenda item, which is the vote on increased funding, and we'll be turning over hosting to Dave Jordan's
capability. Okay. So that's the next issue then. So we'll move on to, can you pull that up for us?
Oh no, there's nothing to pull up. I can do this verbally.
Okay. Okay.
It's really straightforward. Although I didn't get the, I'm sorry. There's been a 2.4 increase in our Ryan White Part A award. I don't have that up right now. Let me find the actual amount. Hold on just a second. Sorry. I don't know where is that. Oh, there it is. And so we will be looking at a motion that's on the floor from the prior Committee of Community Engagement. So this 2.4 increase equals about $354,167. Also an increase for Minority AIDS Initiative, which is about a 4.25% increase. HHS has requested that we actually look at the increased funding scenario a month in advance. You know, we usually do all three scenarios in September, but because this is such an unusual kind of situation and would need maybe more advance notice for HHS, as well perhaps more discussion, Bill thought and steering agreed that this should be coped with in August rather than September. So that's why we're discussing this now. So with that said, the first committee that it landed at was the Community Engagement Committee. The Community Engagement Committee looked at different paths to how to use this money and all settled unanimously on one path, which is a motion that's on the floor, which is to apply these funds proportionately across all service categories. It was a pretty straightforward suggestion. And that is a motion on the floor for discussion for you all right now. Any comments, questions, et cetera?
So what are the kind of types of discussion was that going on at that meeting?
The discussion was around, well, I provided per steering suggestion the three paths that the council could sort of move down. The first path being, should you pick and choose amongst the service categories where this money can go to based on trends or challenges or initiatives that you've learned about throughout the year via presentations? Path one. Path two, do you want to start a new project? Of course, you'd have to pick a service category. And when you think about starting a new project, that should be like a discussion with HIV Health Services, because that involves, of course, a whole process, including an RFP process. And then path three, and this is what folks who were at that meeting as members of public certainly also agreed on, which is like, or do you want to just look at this as like, what could be conceived as the most equitable way, which is simply a proportional increase across all service categories. And the group considered it and were pretty much all in favor of going what they considered to be the equitable proportional route. And the member of the public certainly spoke strongly in favor of that as well. And so that was basically the discussion. It was a shorter discussion than I expected. And that was that.
Okay. So let's have some discussion here if we need to. Any raised hands?
Well, I have a question.
Sure.
Mark, I'm missing something. Did we get something that told us how much this is?
Yes. Bill delivered that two meetings ago.
Okay.
During both steering and then later at the full council. I was at the first 5 minutes of the last full council. So I don't know if he delivered it again, but this information was delivered in June. And that's when it was actually put both in steering and out within the HHS monthly report to the full council.
Okay. So it just gets mixed up sometimes with the rollover funds and.
Oh yeah, especially because we just did that last month.
Right.
Okay. Is this money? So we have to do a roll call, right?
Yeah. If there's no more discussion, there's no public for public comment, I'll just go do a roll call vote for the motion on the floor from committee. So it doesn't need to be moved or seconded. Chuck Adams.
Yes.
Ken Pierce.
Yes.
Irma Parada.
Yes.
Last and never least, Matt Geltmaker.
Yes.
All right. So the motion passes. And so it'll now appear at the Thursday's membership committee meeting. And I'm going to turn over my hosting duties to Dave. Thank you all.
All right. I'll see you all later. Glad I found you.
So a quick question. Doesn't hold the organizations to how they use the money, right? They can either give it in increases for staffing, or they make the decision on how they want to use the money. Is that right, Beth?
Companies have higher funding notice amounts, and then we negotiate the contracts, but the first step in the negotiation is they put forward their budget, and only if we're not happy with it would there be changes.
Thank you.
Okay, if no other questions, then we'll move on to the ARES report. So who wants to take the lead on that, Beth or Maria?
I will screen share. That is all
okay.
I'm working on that.
Good afternoon, everyone. So we're just going to briefly go over the entire presentation.
Okay.
We're not going to cover every line item of the presentation. We just wanted to give you a snapshot of the presentation.
Okay.
And we'll give you an opportunity for you to ask questions or to
give suggestions
with us or suggestions as needed. And so I'll do some of it, and then Maria will join in a little bit. Thank you, Beth.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
For sharing the screen. Again, my name is Flor Roman. I'm with HIV Health Services and I'm an ARES site manager. So thank you for having us today. I just wanted to make you aware that this is our data for 2021 to 2022 and obviously presented and with information that was prepared by Matt Geltmaker. Thank you, Matt, who's present with us today, and also Nali, and which isn't here today, and Beth Neary. So along with Maria and myself. So we'll go ahead and move on. Next slide. We wanted to present to everyone, letting them know, basically, a lot of questions, people still aren't aware that ARES actually stands for AIDS Regional Information and Evaluation System, and not the astrological sign. But so that you know, that's what it stands for. And obviously we still use the data to ensure that we are meeting all of our QI activities, and we're pulling the data from the Ryan White grant for the applications and federal reporting, everything that's required and to meet our performance objectives. So we'll go on. And all the data you're gonna see is from March until February 28th of 21. To 22, and it includes all those fund sources that you see there, which is all Ryan White parts, in addition to HIV Health Services general funds and EHE funds. And the data obviously is not reflective of the entire EPI data, but ARES data as of July 7th, and our total N is 6,374 within the EMA, which is our UDC. And so we wanted to present to you guys a little snapshot of what these numbers actually look like. And so it was the total EMA living with HIV, where we get that data from EPI data. And then also the total ARES EMA with that are getting these fund sources, which is 6,374, obviously in the EMA. Of that 6,000, 3,340 receive primary care. Just so that you know, the data that we're going to be presenting obviously is based on both client self-report and also medical data. And obviously new is not newly diagnosed, but new to ARES. So go ahead. Unknown is a value that's available for as a choice for some of our questions that are available in ARES, but it also could be reflective of whether or not the data wasn't collected. And so just for the charts and the pie graphs you're going to see, we omitted that. The unknowns. And then the UDC breakout across counties. So total obviously is 6,374. 225 of those clients are shared between either Marin County, San Francisco County, and San Mateo are shared clients. 458 of them were new to EMA. Again, not newly diagnosed, but just new to the entire system of ARES. And so in Marin County, it's 264. San Francisco continues to be the biggest county, was 5,732, and San Mateo County at 602, or 9.4% of the total EMA. And this is our breakdown for gender. Now the top shows the current gender for the EMA wide. And then the pie charts that you see are based off of county information. So as you see here, our biggest population is still the male population. And there's a slight increase, I believe, in the transgender population, which I'll show on the next slide. Yeah, and so it shows that this looks at the 10-year date data, and it looks from 2012 to 2021. And there was a slight increase of identified transgender individuals, which is the option that exists for current sex versus sex at birth.
Or how gender.
Current gender. Thank you. How the client wants to identify. Thank you, Maria. Mm-hmm. And we'll go to the next slide. And this is the breakdown of the race. Now, you'll notice that some clients can have multiple races and could identify with several races. And so this is the breakdown of what was submitted for EMA wide, and then Marin, San Francisco, and San Mateo. And so multi-ethnic clients are listed there, which is 3.3% clients that identify with more than one race. And, you know, the question is asked in Aries if the client identifies as Hispanic, yes or no, or Latino. And then it obligates you to then answer whether or not the client then identifies with another race. So it's, again, this is all self-report and that's how the client identifies. So just wanted you to be aware of that too. And I'll turn it over to Maria.
Thank you, Floor. So this breaks out the age for EMA at the top. And, you know, we had these categories for a few years now that the council had requested us to break out, and the individual counties. And we do know that, again, I don't have it on me, but we do always note that the percentage of clients that are 50 and above increases every year, where most of our clients overwhelmingly fall into those categories. Next slide. And then the federal poverty level, also the top, the same thing for all of them, the EMA at the top, and then we can break it out by county. And the majority of our clients are still falling under the 0 to 138. Next slide. And then current living situation in Aries, it is a client self-reported field. And also, you know, the majority are falling under stable. For EMA, but there is some difference. It's okay, you don't have to go back, but in each individual county, thank you. And then insurance status. This one, as you know, in Aries, the way this question is asked is that a client could have more than one type of insurance during the reporting period. So that is why it equals to more than 100%, because it could be that at one point, the client had no insurance, but then they did get Medi-Cal. So it would be reported, if it was during the same year, the client will be reported in both categories. But the majority of our clients have Medi-Cal, which is reflected. And then here we are looking now at ART, antiretroviral therapies by race. And we also are just looking at our clients that get primary care here. So you see that overwhelmingly, the majority of our clients are currently in Aries on ART. And the next slide. We wanted to see by age categories how we're doing with our clients being on ART. And also overwhelmingly, our clients are on ART. The percentage I believe that is the lowest is the 25 to 44 are actually 45 to 49, actually, I see that now, 96.2, and 25 to 44 is 96.9, but yes, the majority of our clients are definitely on ART, regardless of age.
Do we want to hold the questions to the end, or, because Ken Pierce has his hands raised?
Actually, go ahead, Ken. Is it referring to the previous slide?
It's referring to the insurance slide.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering, Maria, you know, we've all watching what's going on in the political fronts. And the big news is what changes they've made to medication for Medicare recipients. And that's bound to have a huge impact on ADAP, for instance, among other things. If, you know, if you have Medicare now, your total out of pocket has dropped dramatically. There's no more donut holes, those kinds of things. So even though here, as you said, this totals up to more than 100%, is there a way for us to look at just the number of people who have Medicare among our total number? You know what I'm saying?
So you wanted to get like specific information about the clients that selected Medi-Cal, Medicare.
Medicare. So
Medicare. Mm-hmm.
It may be premature. I just know that in the very near future, if everything passes, there is going to be a big change for HIV clients who have Medicare, whether that is, I'm assuming, by either age or disability, because it's going to have a huge impact on their cost for medications, which will then have an impact on ADAP and other programs. But we can't really know how many people that will be affecting until we have, you know, of all of our clients, how many of them have at least Medicare. We don't care about the other things.
Yeah, I mean, we can look into it. I know that, unfortunately, that is an issue with ARIES for us to look at this field because of the way that it's asked and the way it's reported, where we, as you see, you know, we did kind of put the line graph just to kind of show, but we weren't able to break it out by county either. I can take a look and see if there's other reports available that might specifically just look at that field and see if maybe, you know, we can even talk to the state who might have reports that other counties have requested to look at this specific population, like you said, if we could get a total N. Uh-huh, go ahead.
I would just add, Ken, you have to remember this is a snapshot at one point in time. So that doesn't mean, so a person could come in at intake and have no insurance. And then 4 months down the road, finally get signed up for Medicaid, Medi-Cal, but that might not necessarily get updated in here. So you have to remember, this isn't like real time up to date every time the person comes in. This is right. Once a year when they're getting their recertification kind of done is when this really gets changed. So you really kind of have to look more at the trends. You can't really get hung up on the numbers.
So I guess my question is, that being said, Maria, that this slide is the 28.2%. If the percentages add up more than 100%, is the 28.2% the percent of N being the number of entries, people.
Yeah, we just don't know if Matt was saying that maybe.
Yeah,
at some point. Yeah, but yeah, I guess at some point.
So it is like 28%.
Yes, mm-hmm. They definitely have Medicare, mm-hmm. but it may be a Medi-Medi. So that's why they may have, you know.
Well, it doesn't matter if they have Medi-Medi. Yeah. Medicare is primary, and
yeah, but that's where.
Impact. So we at least know that about a quarter of our people, if not 30%,
have some type of Medicare.
Yeah, and it's going to be impacted by these changes. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I'll look into seeing if there is any other type of reports that might be more helpful for this. Like I said, this one is a challenge. But I'll check in with the state to see if there's anything else we can pull for insurance. And like Matt said, it is true that it's not updated every time the client comes in, unfortunately. So it might be one of the fields that isn't updated as often, but we'll check and see if there's anything else we can find on this one.
Thank you.
Okay. Uh-huh. And yes, so we are also looking at, again, another one of our demographics by art by gender to show how clients are doing being on art, excuse me, and they're also majority are on, and with our transgender clients that have reported, self-reported as transgender, 100% of them are on art. And then now we're switched to viral load. And I should note that when we were reviewing the data, we were really happy because the unknown has really dropped down to like less than 2%, which is great. But we did just look at the clients that had primary care, and we are using the 200 and above and 200 and below to show if they have viral load suppression. So the majority of our clients are falling under less than 200 for viral load suppression. Next slide. And viral load by age. So because we're looking at this by viral load, we were not able to break it out and have the data be very clear by decades or how we were breaking it out previously. So we had to keep it in the age groups that ARES has established, but you do see that the majority of our clients are also, regardless of age, falling under 200 or below, with the age group of 25 to 44 having the lowest suppression rate. And then gender, we again, our unknowns have fallen for all of these different demographics, which is great. But we do see that for the female gender self-reported ARES, that percentage does drop. Yes.
I saw a thing, and I can't remember what it is, but so we had our first client within this past year identify as other under gender. And I saw that other now is being clumped with unknown in gender, which I thought was rather odd because unknown is truly kind of unknown.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have many clients that identify as other in San Francisco, but it was weird. It did some wonky stuff with my reports.
I haven't noticed that, but thank you for bringing it up so we can take a look.
Yeah, we could take a deeper look at that because we haven't noticed that.
Yeah, it was because I had one show up. It did something wonky with my reports one day.
Yeah,
it's true. We have experienced that, Ara Ann.
Right. And yeah, if there's a small number, we don't usually report it if it could identify who the person is, I haven't noticed that it clumped in or like moved anyone who put other as unknown. So I'll take a look and see if we can check on that.
And do you have
I'll any make a note.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any comments that you can make about this, the fact that the female population has half, it isn't seeming to access services for viral load anyway.
You have to remember also the viral load is only for people getting their outpatient ambulatory care, not necessarily all services.
But nevertheless, still, it begs the question, why are then females that are getting ambulatory care, if we have some insight, that's what we're looking for, the outliers that may give us some insight into how we can improve things, as I understand it. So, Maria, is there any insight you have on this?
No, I unfortunately can't make any, speculations on this right now. I know that it was, we did notice that, it is a client self-reported field. And so, and we did have the number of unknowns drop. So it is accurate, in terms of that part is good, that it's the majority of the data is in, but I can't really speculate as to why that percentage has dropped. I can look back and see what the trend was last year. I want to say it could have looked like maybe we had a larger number of unknown. And so now that we have a better data reporting, and maybe actually is showing that disparity, but I can't really say as to why it is showing up this way.
Do we have any idea what the N is for each of these populations?
Yes.
Yes, we do have the N's for these populations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It might be good if you put that in, because when we're looking at percentages, that means very little unless you know the end that you're starting with. So, you know.
Yeah, and this is the end for all, actually, Beth. So we would have to pull, we don't have the end, but it is 3,000 or so total.
You passed it. It
was for primary care.
With the bullseye.
So
it's 3,000. The last slides that Maria is showing you are based off of 3,340 clients.
We don't show the end for each because it is, like you said, it's not based on everybody in Aries. It's just the ones that get primary care. But if you find that to be helpful, that could be something we could update. You know that we have that information. So
yeah, I think, well, you don't have to do it this time, but for future, knowing what the N is sometimes mm-hmm. puts things a little better in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, so this is something new, thank you, Beth, that we included this year based on your suggestions from our last presentation, which is to include a slide on FAQs. And, you know, there are some of the frequently asked questions that we noticed have come up in the past. But if you can think of, you know, it doesn't have, you can have other suggestions or things that you think would be helpful to include in this slide, we could add those for this presentation or for next year if it's, you know, something that we'd have to do more research on. But these are the main ones that we thought of. And, you know, we always want to point out and
which is kind of like the two questions, right, that were brought up regarding viral load and art, and also the insurance questions.
And to emphasize that it is not everyone living with HIV in our EMA, it's just the ones that are receiving services through
Aries, yeah.
Yeah, and have a unit of service attached during that reporting period. That's also different than looking at, you know, anyone who's is living with HIV over the last 5 years or how the way the state reports it is different, but we are looking at just during that reporting period, and also that those clients have received a primary care visit in Aries, which, you know, it is true we have medical providers as part of Aries, but it isn't all the medical services available in San Francisco for HIV clients. So that's another thing. And also the whole insurance, which we know that is confusing when we report that and it's not adding up to 100%. So is there, next slide. That is our last slide. So if there's any questions at this point, but also we want to open it up for discussion and other thoughts that have come up for all of you today during this little snapshot preview of our presentation. We can open it up now. So
Go ahead. I think it's really good. I like all the pie charts do something good for me. So I like that.
Oh, thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck.
Mm-hmm. And my only comment is, Maria, so that we really would have trouble using Aries data to interpolate for the entire HIV population because of the many factors involved. So that in terms of looking at trends that we can extrapolate to say these are trends for the whole population, we shouldn't be using Aries data for things like that.
Right. Can I add one thing though? It may be where you were going to, Marie. We can't generalize to the epi data of all the people living with HIV in San Francisco, but anybody who's receiving money from Ryan White or General Fund ADVAC, any of the HIV health services funds, their data is required to be entered in Aries. So it is also, it's not the whole universe, but it's the most relevant for what the council controls.
Yeah, I guess when I look at 3,000 as our end, compared to what do we know? We know there are like 15,000, you know?
Right, so not everybody lot of people have insurance, so a lot of people have insurance, but they don't have coverage for legal services or food services or other things. So people who get primary care are really close to about half of the people served by HIV Health Services system of services.
Right, but in terms of just, if 3,000 is to 15,000, you know, one fifth, then we can say we know this much about a fifth of the population. The rest we don't know. Okay, thank you. I think that's an important concept.
I would say though that if you use statistics, I think if you use the 3,400 there and the 6,000, those are the numbers that are important. And statistically speaking, the 3,400 would be able to have a broad, you would be able to take it and make a broad statement about what is or isn't happening.
If the populations are similar, like if yes. they were at all random.
Yes.
We tend to serve people who are on average lower income and sometimes have more right. other challenges as well.
Right.
Though our viral load suppression is better than the city.
Yes, so, that's good.
So we're not.
And I do think that the important part of it too is that these are based on services that are being entered by our programs. For them to be counted, which is important. Because I think sometimes with the 15,000, I mean, I don't know how often that gets updated. If people have stopped getting services for a certain time, if they still get counted the following year, or you know, if it takes a couple of years to get off of that number, I'm not sure. But with the ARES data, it is a current snapshot, like Matt said. So it does count for clients that are actively going in for services.
Okay, any other questions?
Just comment, great. Thank you guys for
yeah,
the time.
Definitely.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, guys. Ken, for your thoughts.
Okay, mm-hmm. Dave, I think the next meeting is on the 13th of September. And other than that, we'll see most of you at steering. So have a great day, everybody.
Take care, everyone. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.